Hey guys, just want to let you know the Patreon is up. Check it out, patreon.com/BeerCityMediaPodcast for all your extra Beer City Media needs. Now on with the show. Welcome to the Conspiracy Therapy Podcast with Ryan, Larry, Spring-Heeled Josh, and the Illumimami herself, Miss April. And on today's episode, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the Siegfried and Roy Tiger incident. Soup Kitchen Studio 2022. It's yours truly, Rad Dad 2022, with the Skeptic, the Mom, the Beard, talking about Siggy and Roy.
Speaking of Katy Perry, did you know she's like in like a hot topic in the news lately? People are super mad because with the Jeffrey Dahmer thing that just came out on Netflix, people are like, what, she references Jeffrey Dahmer in a song? And they're mad. They're upset about that. It's in her, I think, the song E.T.
We've got it way too easy in this country. Honestly.
Yeah. They're like, she needs to take that out. Like, and I'm like, that song was out like 6 years ago. Why are we upset about it? Yeah. Why are we upset about it now?
So now we can't even say somebody.
We have to outrage the last outrage.
Right.
It's getting too... Guys.
The best part is...
Go outside.
You can... Like... The hell is that?
Just laid an egg. Okay. My bad.
The you can't be canceled unless you just choose to be canceled, really.
Yeah.
Like, true. If you just plow on and don't apologize and just keep going, people will forget and they'll go on to the next outrage.
Yeah, it'll be about 4 to 6 business days and then mm-hmm. you'll not be in the news anymore and yep. someone else will be in trouble.
Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. It's true, folks. But besides Katy Perry, mm-hmm. let's get real. Mm-hmm. Let's pull the old Thunderbird to the side of the road. Josh laid an egg too.
Mm-hmm. I did?
You did.
You did. I heard it.
This water just broke.
It's just water.
I guess I didn't realize it did it.
They just fall out now. Okay. He doesn't even know.
Hold on. Side note though, I have to ask, do you two ever have it that you fart and are not aware? Because I've had it now multiple times where I've come upstairs, Josh is up in bed, and I come up there and I'm like, oh, it smells like asshole in here. He's like, I don't know why. I didn't fart. And I'm like, no, you did, because it's your brand.
He's
like, don't deny it. But he like genuinely is denying that he farted. And I'm like, did it fall out? Like what?
Some of these are your farts, by the way.
My love.
denialist.
Is that a thing? Can you fart and not know?
I mean, I have done it and been like surprised by it.
Right.
Like, oh, wow. Excuse me. Sorry. I was not prepared for that. Like I did it last night.
But we were literally watching.
Right. Oh, I knew it happened. Like
where'd that come from?
Good like, God.
You know.
Yeah, you get like concerned maybe, but like uh-huh. I've never done it and been like, that wasn't me.
I did. I think it was last year. I may have talked about this on the show. I don't know. I
like the story already.
On the office floor, I thought it was just me. Mm-hmm. And I silently let one go. Mm-hmm. And it's bad, like really bad. And 2 seconds after it, a woman, I was right by the women, ladies' restroom. She came out of the restroom and I panicked because it smelled bad. So I didn't know what to do. So I just raised my voice, hoping that would confuse or distract. But she was like, "What's that smell? And why are you yelling at me?" I thought I could out scream my fart. Yeah, smell.
I mean,
it's an interesting reaction. I didn't know what to do.
The sound waves would like push the smell molecules away. That was the logic there.
Just shouting in a fart cloud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everybody get away from the sound of my voice.
I was shouting fart in a full movie theater.
Show.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to let it all
fart out.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. Fart denialism. Anyway, so yeah, Thunderbird side of the road. Do you believe in magic? That's the question. Let's get real.
Do I believe in magic? I mean, like, as in, like, it's a art form that people perform? Yeah.
Yeah. But do you think there's any that it's possible to perform said magic realistically other than it just being an illusion?
Are you talking about Harry Potter magic?
Any magic, I guess.
Penn and Teller have pretty much
debunked
blown
that,
that out of the water.
Love that. Love those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say, I think, like, mastery of illusion.
Gillette would just shut the fuck up occasionally.
I think mastery of illusion is one thing, but like actual real magic is it's people who are really good at what they do, which is like lying to people.
Convincing lying. Well, that's right. Kind of like the
hypnotist. You know, just follow my finger. Hypnotism's real.
Yeah.
Well,
hey.
And there was a time where someone would have considered that magic.
When I went to my senior all-nighter, I will never forget this. We had a hypnotist at my senior all-nighter, and my friend went up to be hypnotized. She was one of the ones picked out of the crowd, and she had no foreknowledge of this. Went up there, and he hypnotized her to think she had a bird on her finger. So she was petting this little invisible bird on her finger, and then he said, "Oh no, it flew away," and she went, "Huh," and started crying.
Wow.
So I do believe in hypnotism. Magic, however, I do not believe in.
Okay. Well, that's a good distinction. Josh, what do you think?
Well, like I said, I do believe that, you know, maybe even 100 years ago, they would have looked at a hypnotist as a magician. You're doing something to somebody.
Yeah.
Jesus was a magician. He made unlimited bread out of, like, a loaf. Oh my God. Speaking of loaves.
Oh my God.
It wasn't me.
I think you're crowning. Honestly,
what did we have for dinner?
Fish,
I forget.
Tacos.
Poop. Oh God! You poop for dinner. It smells like
fish tacos.
You know what? I think that magic is real to an extent, but I'm not about to cast a fireball from my hand.
No, just from your asshole.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah,
I don't know. You do watch some of them though, like David Blaine. See the shit that he does, mm-hmm. And I'm like,
it's amazing.
It's amazing. It really is. Like, he's so good, and I would love for, like, on his deathbed, he makes like one final, mm-hmm. like, "Here's how I did all my tricks."
But it's so hard to become that,
right?
Like, Chris Angel tried to for a little bit, but it kind of, like, it's like people are like, "Junko jeans and magic, really?"
Blonde tips and silver ball necklaces.
It's like Abracadabra, except he was like rabbit, whatever.
He was John Davis.
Yeah,
right.
Right before his trick, his fieldie just comes out and smacks the bass with his thumb.
He's new metal David Blaine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a mind freak. But the truth is, I see it all as it's all sleight of hand. It's all, you know, an illusion. I appreciate the art form, though. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And I would love to go to a
dinner where there's a magician.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be cool.
I was talking like a 1940s, just like...
From, what was that? King of the Hill? It was Abracapasta. What's the name of the restaurant?
I think it would be fun to witness.
Yeah.
Don't be caught sleeping on Abracapasta. Sounds like
I need
a good time.
Go through that whole show. Mm-hmm. I've caught episodes... But I've never really like watched, and as a huge
Hulu,
Beavis
right?
and Butthead fan, I do have Hulu.
It's on Hulu.
Beavis and Butthead, and loved Idiocracy, and obviously Office Space. So I need to go back.
Siegfried and Roy were a duo of German-American magicians and entertainers best known for their appearances with white lions and white tigers. I feel like Josh's accents. Ooh. Yep. Here it comes.
There it is.
Warming up.
I got to pet the pussy. Do you want a treat?
It was composed of Siegfried Fischbacher, born June 13th, 1939.
What a fishy.
And Roy Horn, born Hugh Ludwig Horn, October 3rd, 1944.
Hmm.
October's coming up.
Yes.
German American descent. From February 1st, 1990 until Horn's career-ending injury on his birthday on October 3rd, 2003.
Ouch. Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Doesn't this come out on October 3rd?
It does.
Fitting.
Damn.
We didn't even plan that.
Oh, we totally planned it.
Yeah.
No, they know we're not that smart.
Yeah, they do. or fart humor. You think we planned this ahead of time?
Yeah. The duo formed Siegfried and Roy at the Mirage Resort and Casino, which was regarded as the most visited show in Las Vegas, Nevada. From August 2004 to May 2005, Fischbacher and Horn were executive producers of the animated sitcom Father of the Pride.
Hmm. Okay.
So they're both born and raised in Germany. They moved to the U.S. and became naturalized citizens in 1988. Siegfried was born in Rosenheim, Bavaria, Germany. Bavaria, whenever I think of Bavaria, I always think of like the home of chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I just think beer.
Yeah, that too.
Pretzels.
Yeah. Mm. Those dry, hard pretzels are.
Yeah.
I like a good warm pretzel, though.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
little nacho mustard, cheese dip. Right. No. Or mustard. I would go mustard.
Mustard. Mm-hmm. Superior.
His mother was a housewife and his father a professional painter who during World War II ended up as a prisoner.
What'd you say, painter or panter?
A professional painter.
Hmm.
A professional.
Doesn't matter how much water
Germany.
He has.
I wouldn't even be
money's
surprised.
Tight, but.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Who during World War II ended up as a prisoner of war in the Soviet Union. Fischbacher purchased a book about magic tricks as a child and began practicing illusions. He moved to Italy in 1956 and started work at a hotel. Hmm. Eventually, Fischbacher found work performing magic on the ship T.S. Bremen under the stage name Del Mayer. While performing aboard the ship, he met Horn, or Roy, and asked him to assist him during a show. Fischbacher and Horn were fired from the T.S. Bremen for bringing a live cheetah onto the ship.
Fuck.
God.
So they had a thing for cats pretty early.
There it is.
Mm-hmm. I like the other one better.
So due to this, they were also scouted by a cruise line based in New York and began performing together as a duo.
I bet that's a wild fucking cruise line right there. Tigers and lions and cheetahs.
No kidding.
I mean, I'm not kidding. Like, even now when I go to the zoo and I see one of those creatures, it's like, like, that's one of my worst fears is to be on the wrong side of that fence.
Yeah. He's looking at you like, I can kill you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or a gorilla just basically just open you up like a zipper.
When we went to Chicago, we came like, he came right up to the glass, like a silverback came right up to the glass. And I was like, it's not until you are standing with a pane of glass between you and a silverback gorilla that you realize like he could rip my arms off and then beat me to death with them. Mm-hmm. Like it's, you really feel the power of the animal when they're that close.
Yeah. Speaking of monkey at zoos, has anybody seen the grandma getting hit by monkey poo?
It happened here in Grand Rapids.
Yeah, it did.
Yep. Local.
Look it up, folks.
It's the best.
That's the
way it hangs off her nose and makes her look like a witch is my favorite.
It would have been great if she just cackled and flew away. Anyway, so Roy was born in Hugh Ludwig Horn on October 3rd, was born Hugh Ludwig Horn on October 3rd, 1944 in Notterdam, Oldenburg, Germany, in the midst of bomb attacks to Joanna Horn. His father died in World War II and his mother married a construction worker after the war ended. She later began work in a factory. Horn had three brothers, Manfred, Alfred, and Werner. Horn became interested in animals at a very young age and cared for his childhood dog named Hex, or Witch. A family friend
was the founder of Bremen Zoo, which gave Horn access to exotic animals at the age of 10.
Mm.
Horn left school at age 13.
He worked safe.
No. He worked as a waiter on the cruise ship Bremen, where he met Fischbacher and launched his performance career.
Hmm.
Now, the owner of the Astoria Theater in Bremen saw Fischbacher and Horn's act aboard a Caribbean cruise ship and recruited the duo to perform at her nightclub. This launched a career for the pair on the European nightclub circuit, and they began to perform with Tigers. They were discovered performing in Paris by Tony Azzi, who asked them to come to Las Vegas in 1967. They spent some time in Puerto Rico and may have purchased property there. Interesting. In 1981, Kevin Feld of Irvin and Kenneth Feld Productions started the Beyond Belief show with them at the New Frontier Hotel and Casino. A revamped version of the show was taken on a world tour in the third quarter of 1988. In October of 1988, Fischbacher and Horn became naturalized U.S. citizens, and during a period of their careers, Fischbacher and Horn were romantically involved, though they avoided discussion of their private life. So, good for them.
So they were clanging door knockers.
Mm-hmm. They were doing...
Fair enough.
I mean, do you think it's one of those things where it's like...
The only pussy in that house was those tigers.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense. It's nice that if they're going to be with somebody, it's going to be with the person that they're traveling the world with. Mm-hmm. It's not like they're having to leave them behind. And
they have the same interests.
True.
That's true.
Never ran out of things to talk about.
Okay. So
yeah,
you're starting to date someone. They bring you home and they've got wild fucking tigers in the house. You in, you're out.
I mean, I love... I have a huge fascination with like exotic creatures. Like I would consider a lion to be pretty fucking majestic and cool, but I'm also terrified of what a wild animal could do to me. Like you ever had a friend, like especially growing up, that was like a snake person?
Mm-hmm.
My brother had a tarantula.
Reptile people are...
They're interesting.
Yeah.
Mm.
I feel like Chris Angel's got a lot of those.
For sure.
It's the equivalent of horse girl.
Yeah. In like a weird, it's like nu metal horse girl is reptile guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But horses, there's something behind the eyes of a horse. There's nothing behind the eyes of a snake.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. Exactly. Like a horse, I feel like looks at you and goes, dur, dur, dur. Like,
hey,
bud. Like you could blow some weed smoke in a horse's face and he'd be like, yeah.
Thanks for that.
Yeah. Thanks, man. Now, please don't kick me when you ride me. But do ride me.
Right.
It's cool. Mm-hmm. Like I've never met a horse where I've never met a horse and been like, oh fuck, I feel terrified. Like they're amazingly beautiful creatures, but getting kicked by a horse in the back would suck.
I went to school with a girl who got kicked in the face by a horse and it like shattered her entire face. She had to have reconstructive surgery and to this day has like an eye patch and a funny walk.
Oh, like Halloween.
She's a pirate.
Yeah.
Arg.
I don't know. See, that's another thing that just made me think of, like, do you think scars can be cool?
Yeah, depends. Harry Potter made a whole career out of it.
True.
Yeah, that real guy, Harry Potter.
It's the story behind the scar.
True. Uh-huh.
Like, I got a scar in my hand, but I did it punching a window because I was mad at my brother. Not really that cool.
Mm-hmm.
Rage scars.
Yeah.
I get
if it was
that.
Like, oh, this is a scar. I was in a knife fight trying to
defend my ladies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a scar on the tip of my finger. It's because I was trying to poke a hole in a Q-tip carton so I could make a car for my Barbie doll when I was 7.
Yeah, not cool.
Not at all.
No.
Like you don't see a Viking warrior and he's just like got this cool scar across his face. He's like, yeah, I got this having sex with my other clan member. Uh-huh. I fell off the rock. Oops.
Oh, I got the chip in my front too.
Having sex with the other clan member?
Yeah. No, it was with a girl. Oh. And I hit my tooth on the bedside table.
What were you doing?
I don't know.
Reverse
it was just my first time. First or second time.
Wow.
I was thrusting like a... I don't know what I was doing.
You were in turbo mode.
Mm. He's just headbanging the whole time.
You know
time.
What it was? The socks weren't gripping. So
this is your PSA. Remember to wear the grippy
That's
socks.
Right.
Anyway, so... They they said that they were romantically involved, and I have to assume that it wasn't ever one of those times where it was okay to be open with that. Although I will give props to people like Freddie Mercury and even Elton John, who were pretty open about their sexuality. But
no,
open but not open.
Freddie was not open about it. He denied being gay.
Well, who would be the precursors to that being?
I mean, Elton John for sure was open about it. But Freddie, no.
Maybe Fred from B-52s?
I saw B-52s and they were fucking great live.
Cool story.
I'm just saying. If you get a chance.
Was he open about that or?
Think it was a secret.
No. I am gay and that's for sure. Let's go to the shopping mall. Every great B-52s lyric. No, but I do love the band, and I can't think of many, and I feel kind of bad for them because I feel like they kind of are in some ways like gay icons, even though they weren't necessarily super open. Like, I don't remember watching any of their stuff as a kid. Did you see any of it?
No. I mean, you knew who they were.
They were the tiger people.
German tiger guys.
Yeah, that's about they were white tigers. That's about the most I knew. Mm-hmm. And they always dressed a little flamboyant.
I'm just trying to think, where would I have seen them? Maybe Carson?
I feel the like Johnny they Carson were on the Carson show for sure.
That
like
makes sense.
There's clips weird of them. On, yeah.
And probably being referenced on like a movie or TV show. Just somehow like being in it. Because I think that was my way of seeing them.
We can take a quick break now, or I can start to get into the incident. What would you like?
Yeah, let's take a break. Yeah. Josh just shit himself.
Kitchen Studio, second segment time, talking about Siegfried and Roy. A couple of boys out in Vegas. Uh-oh. Their tiger's getting angry.
To be up here.
Oh. I didn't know we had raw audio from when Riley turned into a gremlin that one Christmas.
It's like the Animorphs, him turning from a dog to a killer whale.
Hey, man. Transformers. Anyway, Siegfried and Roy, the master illusionist whose mix of glitz, charm, and white tiger magic symbolizes the thrill of Las Vegas, October 3rd, 2003, started out as a day of celebration and ended as a night of terror. Oh, God. Somebody throw him a pork chop. At his lavish 59th birthday party in the Mirage Hotel Theater that bears the duo's name, Roy Horn, the dark-haired half of the team, ushered in the early hours of the morning with 500 friends and fellow entertainers. He had spent the evening table hopping and dancing, and at midnight raised a glass to his partner, Siegfried Fischbacher, in celebration of their 44 years together. He was in great spirits, remembers impersonator Frank Marino, an invited guest. Marino, I just imagine what the, like an Italian guy. Like.
Dan Marino's unsuccessful brother.
Football's not really panning out, Dan.
So I'm going to be a pretend tiger trainer.
I'm one of Roy's friends, all right?
I bet I could throw that tiger over that there mountain.
Okay, Uncle Rico.
All of his friends were kidding around with him, and he was making jokes and being very playful. This is making me sad. One of the jibes was about his age and eventual retirement. I'll retire only...
God, don't you hate it when people make fun of your age?
upcoming retirement?
Yeah. I'll retire only when I can't do it anymore, Roy shot back.
It'll be sooner than later, sir.
That is the sad thing about death, especially like this. It's like when it happens, you don't get a whole like, can I do a quick decompression about how my whole life was and like reminisce and have a big fish style thing where I see all my friends in a lake and get dropped in.
It's just a bus.
Like, do you have like, that is the ultimate, like we all get to figure out that out. And that's a nice thing to get to know because every cool person on this planet has died or is around and will die. But it's like...
Discriminate death.
No. No.
Doesn't care how rich or famous you are.
Nope. You could be the queen.
I mean, it was a fan of Dick Clark for a long time, but eventually got him too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy, those last few years though.
Yeah.
It was a rough watch. That's all I'm saying. I'm not going to do any impression.
I know. That was the worst part of those Rockin' Eves. Mm-hmm. Not so much Rockin' anymore. But
every time it would come up, like, he's still alive?
Yeah, it's New York Strokin' Eve.
Yep. So he said...
And right next to him is Ryan Seacrest looking all handsome. And I know.
It's me, Ryan Seacrest. They'll find the bodies eventually, Ryan. Anyway, so Roy shot back in his heavy German accent saying... Alluding to the physical strength necessary to swing on ropes 30 feet above the audience and handle the 600-pound tigers that were the centerpiece of the act. To a man so fit and lithe, that day seemed a long way off. It is incredibly dangerous, and we took Roy, this superhuman, Superman, for granted all those years, says fellow Vegas magician Lance Burton.
But less than a magician no one's heard of.
poor Lance.
His fame disappeared.
Come to Lance's
abracadabra.
Come to Lance.
I am successful.
Come to Lance's half off wings.
If he's listening, I'm just joking, sir.
Hey, we're only ribbon. That's the thing. But less than 24 hours later, Roy lay near death in the trauma unit of University Medical Center. Even in a town famous for risky wagers, few were betting he would survive the night and 30,000.
I would not be surprised if Vegas had a line on that.
Probably.
Like an over under on his death.
Somebody made big money that night. Just like,
that's how fucking gambling addicts are.
Yeah, right? 30,000.
You guys gamble?
Yeah. No.
I have. I allow myself maybe once a year to go to a casino and I'll take out, say, 100, and if I go below, say, 80, I'll stop. Because there's a certain amount I'm willing to lose if I'm going to play. What I loved about Vegas was free drinks. Like,
yeah,
and not just alcohol, but like you could get sodas, coffee. Like, I went to Vegas and had a blast. So you just have to be smart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I found out when I was older that my dad was a gambling addict.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He kept it hidden from me when I was a kid, and I found out later because his bookie called me thinking that I would be interested in.
Oh.
I don't know. Those calls stopped, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Once my dad found out those calls stopped.
Well, I mean, that's the really crazy thing now that it's like online is legal. It's everywhere.
It is. I have no problem with that. It's all the fucking ads I want illegal.
Yeah.
Jeez, I'm just inundated with MGM Grand.
Yeah, that and like every time you're out at like say a sports bar and you just want to get a beer and a salad or whatever, it's like pull tabs and Keno and like everything, and it kind of it's so oversaturated. I just want to watch sports half the time.
Yeah. Like I do want to go to the casino, put a bet down on a ball game and watch it.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, not when I'm out with my friends.
No. Right.
No, I want to be a degenerate by myself at the bar drinking all alone.
Yes.
Living and dying with every pitch.
Yeah.
Just for a day, just to see what that's like.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, when we retire, might as well have a day out.
I wouldn't be living and dying. It'd be like by $10.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, I spent $5 on pull tabs. I want a free drink. Cool. I'm out.
There's been some interventions with gambling addicts, and it is scary.
It's scary. scary. Yeah, they'll mortgage their house just to, you know, they'll use an inheritance completely and lose it in a day.
Did you hear about that guy that, well, because did you hear about the Tom Brady incident with the tablet?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you didn't hear about it, or I'm sure Ryan and April maybe, it was like a week ago, I think, Tom Brady, they were playing a game and like it just was going to shit. He has this tablet. He turns around and he whips it, busting this thing up. Somebody put a bet down that he was going to break a tablet.
That's degenerates, man.
Wow. And it was it was like $100 down that would happen. Ended up winning like $140,000.
Jeez.
Wow. It's crazy. Like for Super Bowl, there'll be an over under on how long it takes to sing the national anthem.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason to do that.
No.
I just like when I had DraftKings for about a week.
Mm-hmm.
All I did was maybe two games I bet on. I won one, lost the other, and I'm like, I get it, but it's too addicting. Mm-hmm.
It is. I can see it going sideways mm-hmm. quickly.
Yeah, yeah. No, I immediately deleted those apps. So, yeah. If
you have the addiction, call the hotline.
The National Council on Problem Gambling operates the National Problem Gambling Helpline Network. 1-800-522-4700.
Yeah, call the hotline. Josh, you need to get that checked. So,
good God, dude.
Less than 24.
What's the over under on how many farts he had? I'll bet on that. I'll take the over or whatever number that is.
It's over 20, I think. Mm-hmm. So, less than 24 hours later, Roy lay near death at the University Medical Center. Even in a town famous for risky wagers, few were betting he would survive the night. In 30,000 perfectly timed shows with elephants, lions, tigers, cheetahs, and sharp-beaked macaws, Siegfried and Roy had never had a serious mishap. That's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Their acts seen by some 400,000 people each year.
Wow.
Was a pastiche of Vegas razzle dazzle, daredevil theatrics, illusions, and of course, animals.
Razzle dazzle.
More people need to say razzle dazzle.
Mm-hmm.
There are some words that when you hear them, it's like
pastiche or whatever. Yeah, pistachio or whatever you said.
Yeah.
Hey, don't you have those on the counter?
Mm. I do have a big giant bag of pistachios. So
good. I love a good mm-hmm. bag of pastiches.
Mm-hmm.
So. This article comes from readersdigest.com, by the way, too.
The large print edition?
Yes, please.
Because you're over 40.
That's true.
Hey, man, those comics slap.
The colonoscopy's coming. The lions and tigers were Roy's domain, and his ability to communicate with them was marvelous and mysterious at the same time. Roy didn't so much train the animals as bond with them through a technique he called affection conditioning, raising tiger cubs from birth and sleeping with them until they were a year old. When an animal gives you its trust, Roy had said, you feel like you have been given the most beautiful gift in the world. And that's, I mean, the unfortunate thing about this is we know too often that these people who befriend said exotic animals, mm-hmm. I mean, that Grizzly Man documentary itself, you know, he befriended a bunch of bears. And then one night the bear was like, are you an Oreo? And decided
it's still a wild fucking animal.
It's still a wild animal. We don't know how they think. And maybe they're sweet creatures, but like they are.
My cat just jacked my finger up yesterday.
Yeah. Fucking cunt. I don't. Yeah. But no, I get it, man. It's.
The cat would take you out if it believes it could. It would.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Cat will eat you.
Mm-hmm.
If you die.
Dogs will eat you if you're dead.
Oh, well, yeah.
I'd think about it.
Yeah.
How hungry I am.
You just get that Bugs Bunny cartoon happening where you're just staring at your just spray a little mustard on Chewie's
head. Oh, yeah. Gotta be mustard.
Always. Spicy mustard.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. Slow cooked, right?
Of course.
A little herb butter.
You're not an animal.
Yeah. It's not crazy here.
So on the night of October 3rd, that trust was broken. 45 minutes into the show at about 8:15 p.m., Roy led out Manticore, a 7-year-old white tiger born in Guadalajara, Mexico.
Sounds like a boss level on Final Fantasy.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
The 380... I don't
know if there's boss levels on Final Fantasy, but...
What are there? Are there boss levels, or is it just like boss encounters?
There's
like
boss at the end encounter. Of a level.
Okay. Right. The 380-pound cat... became distracted by someone in the 1,500-member crowd and broke his routine, straying toward the edge of the stage. With no barrier protecting the audience, Roy leapt to put himself between Manticore and the front row only a few... Wow.
Did you see him leaping like
Get back! Like a
Lord of Leaping from...
He leapt with some razzle-dazzle.
There was some panache or whatever behind that leap.
Roy leapt to put himself between Manticore and the front row only a few feet away. The tiger kept coming.
Razzle-dazzle indeed.
Roy gave him a command to lie down.
You lie down. Down.
We loved you. Thank you for your service in the entertainment industry. He would appreciate a joke. I know it. So Roy gave him a command to lie down and Manticore refused. Gripping the trainer's right wrist with his paw. Oh, God. This is going to get rough. He lost the chain around the tiger's neck and grabbed for it, but couldn't get it, says Tony Cohen, a Miami tourist who was sitting 10 yards from the stage with his free hand.
After he shat himself.
I probably would, especially that close. I'd be like, I'd be emptying things.
I'd have been going.
I know. I'd be like, Casey,
out the back door.
Plug your nose. I got a full diaper. We got to get out of here.
Leave the popcorn.
Yeah. Now actually take it.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's expensive.
I emptied my whole self out. So, with his free hand holding a wireless microphone, Roy tried repeatedly tapping Manticore on his head, the sound reverberating through the theater. Release, Roy commanded the tiger.
Release.
Manticore relaxed his grip, but Roy had been straining to pull away and fell backward over the tiger's leg. In an instant, Manticore was on top of him, clamping his powerful jaws around Roy's neck.
Ew.
Now Siegfried, standing nearby, ran across the stage yelling, "No, no, no!" But the tiger was resolute and dragged his master 30 feet off stage, literally like a rag doll, as another witness recalls. A couple of gasps went up in the crowd, though many people thought the incident was part of the act. It wasn't like he grabbed him viciously, says audience member Andrew Cushman. He just grabbed him by the throat and walked off stage. So like kind of like a cat, like with a baby cat.
You know, people thought that was part of the show.
Mm. Yeah, that's insane.
There's a comedian in England who had a heart attack right on stage and died. Mm. Like fell backwards and people just laughed. They thought it was part of the show.
Oh my God.
And he's sitting there and he's got the mic. You know, that death snore, that death rattle. He's like dying right on stage. People are laughing because they think it's part of the show. They thought it was a pratfall. And then all of a sudden he was right by the curtain. Someone grabbed his like from behind and he just disappeared behind the curtain. You can find on YouTube.
Wow. They're predators. So who can really know what goes on in their minds? Said K. Rosary, who runs the Big Cat
Not
Encounter.
Not the Predator, John.
A show near Sarasota, Florida. Even though they're raised in captivity and they love us, sometimes their natural instincts just take over. Some members of the show who witnessed the incident say the cat didn't necessarily mean to kill, but was confused by the break in the routine and angry at being disciplined.
Yeah. I might piss you off if you're a cat.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, I can eat you.
They believe the stress of the situation caused Manticore to turn on the man who had worked with him almost daily from the time he was 6 months old. Whatever the cause, horrified stagehands backstage sprayed the tiger with a fire extinguisher to get him to free Roy. When that failed, they beat the animal about the head with the butt end of the extinguisher. Manticore finally ran to his cage. The tiger then, they later learned, had torn Roy's jugular vein, barely missing the carotid artery. The news spread quickly through the all-night community and vigils sprang up at the hospital and at the Mirage. Along the strip, few performers were more admired than these two, who met as young men working on a German cruise ship. When they brought their magic act to Vegas in 1967, they helped transform a town then ruled by crooners, off-color comics, and topless dancers. In 1988, they signed a record-breaking 5-year, $57 million deal with casino developer Steve Wynn to stage a Broadway meets Barnum & Bailey extravaganza at the Mirage, then still under construction. Soon they were Vegas royalty, living in an opulent compound they called the Jungle Palace, where a replica of the Sistine Chapel adorned the ceiling, as well as a separate 100-acre estate, Little Bavaria, outside of town. There's 63 tigers and 16 lions. None of them declawed. Had the run of the properties, including Roy's bedroom and the pool. Roy meditated with at least one tiger every day. The
poor guy's gonna pick up all that tiger poop.
Oh, they had a handler.
Ever smelled cat shit, I can only imagine tiger shit's even worse.
Yeah, little Bavaria didn't smell too good. It didn't smell like chocolate.
Giant kitty box, litter boxes, just sand boxes. Children's sand boxes.
Olympic-sized swimming pool. It was just filled with kitty litter.
I mean, I just kind of love the idea of them taking like a gigantic shovel to like pick up the kitty.
Just a giant rake. Scoop it out.
Siegfried, clean the box. It's your turn. Just saying. Clean that damn magic step kitty litter super box.
Tiger piss smell
everywhere. Oh, God. Cat piss already smells terrible.
No more special kitty for you. Oh,
good Lord.
That's a lot of friskies.
So Siegfried, who was always somewhat wary of the big beast, was the intense, quiet one, the consummate magician and technical wizard, the brain behind the disappearing axe. Roy had his own animal magnetism. It could command the big cats with the flick of a finger.
Oh my God.
Did you see your dog? You are terrifying these animals.
I think it's twins.
Oh God. Oh, so man. Siegfried and Roy says their friend Robin Leach, the lifestyles of the rich and famous guy, Robin Leach, are so closely intertwined, they're like brothers. Without one, there isn't the other. They have an extraordinary relationship, the real meaning of the word love, that most people would want, particularly married couples. And they're
spreading estate across Little Bavaria. Mm-hmm. And Roy had a box is the size of Olympic pools.
We found a good one for you. I love that. Oh, man. Not only that, but you'd have to imagine that...
The panache in which they... Opulent lifestyle.
At the hospital the night of the attack, Siegfried was in shock, recalled his friends.
Yeah.
Robert and Melinda Macy, who wrote a souvenir book, Gift for the Ages, with the pair... On the way to the trauma center, paramedics had stanched Roy's massive blood loss, and he was immediately taken into surgery. There, I remember that because there was a brief moment where it was like he might survive, you know. There, the medical team had to bring him back from the edge at least three times. Shortly after 11:30 p.m., they wheeled him out of the unit. Yeah, and into another part of the hospital. But early the next morning, Roy suffered a pretty big stroke, in the words of one physician, and was returned to surgery at 9:30, where doctors perform a large decompressive craniotomy, temporarily removing about a quarter of his skull to relieve swelling of the brain. The excised portion was placed in a pouch in his abdomen to keep the bone tissue alive. He suffered some paralysis on his left side and his windpipe was crushed. Placed on a ventilator, he was unable to swallow or speak. Yet, amazingly, he responded to Steve Wynn only days later, squeezing his hand once for yes and twice for no. And answering in the affirmative, when asked if he could handle such an ordeal, he also indicated that he wanted to see his pug-nosed dog, Piaf, who was brought to the hospital for a visit. It is all but miraculous that he's alive, his neurosurgeon, Dr. Derek Duke, told the press. Later in October, Roy Horn was strong enough to be airlifted to the UCLA Medical Center, where he continued to make progress. And all the while, Siegfried stayed by his side. The first time he put a pen in Roy's palm, Fischbacher touchingly recounted that his friend wrote, "Siegfried, it is nice to hold your hand." Hold your hand. Poor guys.
Next he wrote, "Kill that fucking tiger."
No more toys for him. According to the duo's...
Give the tigers to Michael Vick. Let him take care of them.
Ouch.
Oh, Siegfried. Don't give him to Mr. Vick. According to the duo's manager, Bernie Yerim, Roy was taken off the ventilator in mid-November. His cognitive skills were intact, perfect, Newman said. The entertainer was writing prolific notes, giving orders to them, even asking for a Madonna CD. I get it. That's about Euro Light era. Ray of Light.
Yeah.
Ray of Light.
Good album. And the months following, the duo's camp was largely silent, as was the show's producer, Kenneth Feld, owner of the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus. Feld had troubles other than Roy's injuries. Animal rights groups had loudly insisted that show tigers should be retired, and the U.S. Department of Agriculture did open an investigation into a possible violation of the Animal Welfare Act, since regulations call for sufficient distance between animals and the viewing public in live animal shows. With the stakes so high, the Mirage refused to release a tape of the near-fatal performance. While Siegfried and Roy's spokesman couldn't promise that the live show would come back, if anyone can make a full recovery from such a horrendous blow, says Bob Macy, it is Roy.
So there's tape of this.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I'm sure if you went on whatever the version of Live Leak is now, you could probably find it.
Mm-hmm.
I know that when I typed it into Chrome to search for the article on this, that was the first thing that came up was the footage. So while Siegfried and Roy's spokesman couldn't promise any... Okay, so they're pulling for Roy here.
Mm-hmm.
And it may not be his last because of the loss of blood and oxygen to the brain. Physician said that Roy could have experienced some irreversible paralysis and brain damage and may always need assistance even with basic activities, including walking. Often in cases like Roy Horn's, a patient also exhibits residual effects of brain injury such as speech difficulties, memory problems, emotional instability, and impaired critical thinking skills. Mm. My impression is that he had a significant injury that may prevent any type of return to their act, said Catherine Cooper, MD, an anesthesiologist in Richmond, Virginia, who has studied stroke and brain injury cases. His motor function is unlikely to improve substantially, and although his mental function is already better than initially feared, his neurological recovery will be a slow process measured in very small accomplishments. By late January, though, his tracheal tube was out, allowing him to talk and ask for two of his favorite foods, pistachio ice cream and Wiener Schnitzel. His mobility, too, had improved. Siegfried reported that Roy was standing up and Human hinted he could be walking soon. Still, those bright signs might not be enough to ensure Roy's return to the stage, and he may finally be ready to take that retirement he spoke of at his birthday party. If so, he will likely find some way to contribute, his friends say, if only at the Secret Garden, the lush animal habitat behind the Mirage, where Manticore now paces and fixes his visitors with icy blue eyes. Siegfried says he would never take another partner. There's no need, he says. Roy will be back. Roy is bigger than life. He always explained to me life is full of miracles.
I'm surprised that the tiger wasn't shot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, immediately.
Yeah.
Right.
They just beat him up with a fire extinguisher. Right.
The you duo, give him brain damage, we'll give you brain damage.
Why didn't they think of a laser light?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Just lead him away.
Every time.
The duo did get back on stage one more time in 2009 for a final show. After the show abruptly stopped in 2003 after the attack, they wanted to...
I did not know they did another one.
They did one more.
Oh.
Even though the pair wasn't able to move around and perform illusions quite like they'd used to, they still put on a great show and even brought Manticore out for one final trick on stage. I know.
That seems like bad juju.
I'm impressed. I mean, that's crazy to me that they would do it. But I mean,
mm-hmm. What's
that's
really
consummate showmanism.
Right.
The freaky thing is, is if you're an audience member, they would always, the thing they would always tell the audience is, oh, we've only trained him for 2 weeks, even though it wasn't true. But it was to kind of add to the...
Right.
And now it makes a break for the audience. Oh, mm-hmm. My goodness.
Yeah, right.
In August 2004, their act became the basis for Father of the Pride. Right before its release, the series was almost canceled until Fischbacher and Horn urged NBC to continue production after Horn's condition improved following the attack.
Oh, so they were in the middle of filming it?
Mm-hmm.
And NBC was like, cancel this?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I mean,
if anything,
awareness was at an all-time high because of the incident. So, mm-hmm. I mean.
And just the story of the recovery would be interesting.
Yeah. In February 2009, like I said, they had their final performance with Manticore. Their performance was recorded for broadcast on ABC Television's 2020 program. On April 23rd, 2010, Fischbacher and Horn retired from show business. The last time we closed, we didn't have a lot of warnings, said longtime manager Bernie Yemen. This is farewell. This is the dot at the end of the sentence. On March 19th, 2014, Manticore died after a brief illness. He was 17.
COVID.
They don't look into the sources, folks. In June of 2016, director Philip Stalzi announced that Fischbacher and Horn would produce a biopic film documenting their lives. On April 28th, 2020, Horn's publicist stated that he tested positive for the virus that caused COVID-19. Yeah, interesting.
Oh my God.
And is currently responding
well to treatment. Something plugged it right up.
Mm-hmm. However, his condition deteriorated and he died on May 8th, 2020 at the age of 75 at wow. Mountain View Hospital in Las Vegas during the COVID-19 pandemic in Nevada. Hmm. The duo spokesman Dave Kirvin announced Horn's death and said it was due to complications from the disease. Fischbacher
I thought maybe they had a tiger named COVID. Ouch, just finished off the job.
Fischbacher stated that the world has lost one of the greats of magic, but I have lost my best friend.
Mm. Aww.
On January 11th, 2021, Fischbacher announced he had terminal pancreatic cancer.
Jesus.
He died in Las Vegas 2 days later on January 13th.
They're both dead now?
Yeah, mm-hmm. At the age of 81.
Huh.
Wow.
75 and 81. They had a long haul.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can't think of a better love story, though. I mean, getting to share in an I mean, yeah, it's obviously it has its ups and downs. But, I mean, like, they had a perfect, like...
Perfect
little... They got to do what they loved.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The cat went up and went down on his neck.
They got to be eaten by what they loved.
Yeah. I think it's impressive they survived.
I mean, you know they weren't eating pussy.
No. There's not really a verdict for this. I mean, it happened. I guess the verdict could be like, well, no, there's not a verdict.
That's fine. We don't need to force a verdict.
No.
The verdict is, did they love each other?
Yes.
Yes.
I would say so. They were best friends.
There we go. That's good job, team.
Good job, team.
We all agreed.
Yep.
You've been really putting out a lot of energy tonight. And
seismic energy.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that they haven't smelled too bad.
Yeah, me too.
If you'd like to follow us on Instagram, TikTok, all the things, Larry's been posting great stuff. I've been following it up with the YouTubes, the Patreons, got 3 episodes for $5 a month. You get 3 episodes currently. And yeah, join the Facebook group. Tell us what you like, what you don't like. Tell us how you're doing. We like to hear from our fans. 5 stars and we'll shout you out. Does anybody have anything they want to throw out there before we end this bad beeler?
You should have said bad cat.
Bad pussy.
I'm going to put this fizzy jello on your vagina.
Yep. There it was.
Better lick my pussy later.
Full of fizzy jello.
It's a tasty treat.
It is.
Oh, God.
Low fat.
Mm-hmm. Gluten free.
Oh, no, it's yeah. If you could have an exotic animal farm like they did, what would you have? Would you call it Little Shoopsville?
Maybe.
Little Shoop of Horrors.
Oh, nice.
Little Shoop of Horrors. You don't know, stand too animals? Close to that butt.
Something exotic. Mm-hmm. I don't know, like a sloth.
I mean,
a sloth farm. What about monkeys? Monkeys are cool.
They throw the little poop. Ones?
Well, yeah, but...
So, well...
It's a risk you take having a farm full of monkeys.
True. You don't need to throw poop at you or write the works of Shakespeare.
Uh-huh.
That's what I've heard.
Right.
That one that talks like Robin Leach in the corner.
I love a banana. An opulent banana.
Mmm.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not big into like exotic animals. I had a lizard and the fucking thing would not die.
Oh my God.
That thing lasted 25 years.
So this whole time we were sitting here razzing reptile guys and you had a pet lizard.
I had a gecko.
You were new metal horse girl.
When I was like 19, I got the thing.
New metal horse girl.
Wait, 19, you said about 25
I think it
years.
Made about 23 years.
So this thing died like in the past, what, six?
5 years, five, wow. 6 years.
Yeah. So since we've started doing this podcast.
You never knew I had a gecko, did
no.
you? I don't think I ever talked about
no.
it.
I remember seeing it when we would do Beer City Spaceship. Yeah. Because I was just like, interesting.
Yeah, that's all it does is just sit there. I'm like, well, that was an investment.
Did you like have any sort of emotional bond with your
none.
Gecko?
None. None. It just looked at me with its dead cold eyes. Oh, and it would eat up one of those wax worms or whatever. Uh-huh. Those maggot looking worms.
Yep.
And the cat would
stare at it
and kind of and then lose interest.
Not even a cat.
Cat didn't care. That was my my old cat. The dead one.
Yep.
Oh. New one probably eat it.
Yeah.
And then shit on my bed. The bones, just
R.A.P. kitty.
Yeah.
Well, Manticore, we hardly knew ye.
Mm.
Siegfried and Roy, I hope you're having fun doing shows in heaven.
Mm-hmm. Without the tigers.
Without the tiger. Be careful.
Yeah.
Hey, stay safe out there. We love you guys. We'll see you next week. Have a great one.
I'm the king of the jungle. They call me Tiger Man.
Of Beer City Media.